Heavenly Father, on this All Saints Sunday, we give you thanks for the saints that have gone before us, whose lives of faithfulness is a model for us. But ultimately, we know we thank you for the faith you bestowed upon them, that you were a faithful God when we were unfaithful. Help us to remain faithful as we enter through the turbulent world that we now walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Have you ever wished that you were adopted? Maybe when you were a kid, you kind of daydreamed about being adopted by another family. Maybe for some of you who are grown-ups, you still wish that you were adopted by another family. Maybe they can, a grown-up, adopt you. When I was a kid, I used to daydream about the time, or that when I would hope the time would come, when my older cousin, Paul, would adopt me. My cousin Paul is 16 years older than me. And although he's physically 16 years older than me, mentally, maturely, we were about the same age when I was 11, 12, okay? And Paul let me get away with murder. Paul didn't even know the words no. So I would come up with all kinds of crazy shenanigans, as you can imagine. Want to shoot rockets in the park at 2 o'clock in the morning? Sounds like a great idea. Want to drink slushies and play video games all day? Wonderful, Chase. Want to go buy some ninja stars and throw them in the backyard? Sounds like a good idea to me. My mother really loved that one, let me tell you. So did the cat. No, I'm kidding. What I really loved about Paul is that because he was 16 years older than me, he was also able to pay for all of this shenanigans. So thank you, Paul, for all that. So as you can imagine, I long for the day when Paul would whisk me away from my monotonous, mundane, boring family and lead me to the land of perpetual video games, Dunkin' Donut breakfast, and pizza dinners. I'm sure all of us can remember times when we wished we were adopted by another family, another person. One of my best friends, a guy named Alon, was adopted when he was young. I've talked about him before in other sermons. Alon is the youngest of 13 children from a Haitian immigrant family. And at a young age, his mother put him up for adoption. She just simply could not take care of him. And Alon was bitter about this. He was old enough to know what was going on. And so he acted out that bitterness to his foster families. And Alon became known as a troubled case. And he would bounce from foster home to foster home. And quite honestly, it looked very bleak that Alon would ever be adopted someday. In fact, the social workers were just kind of waiting for him to age out of the system. But then came the Taylor family. And the Taylor family patiently and lovingly welcomed Alon into their home. This very difficult, bitter little boy into their home. And he gained a family that he could never even dream of. When we were adults, I asked Alon if he had any desire to seek out his biological mother, to get to know her. And I was shocked when he told me, no, not one bit. And I asked him, well, why not? Why would you not want to get to know your mom? And he told me, because the people that I call mom and dad are my parents. They're the ones that have loved me and cared for me and sacrificed for me. So as far as I'm concerned, they're the only parents I've known and they're the only parents I ever want to know. Besides placing his faith in Jesus, Alon would tell you to this day, adoption has been the best thing that has happened to him. It's also been the number one thing that has changed his life other than coming to faith in Jesus. But now we know not all adoption goes so well, does it? Christina Klein wrote a fascinating book many years ago called Orphan Train. It was a New York Times bestseller. If you've never read this, it's a great little book. Basically, in the book, she explains between the years of 1854 and 1929, a terrible thing happened in America. Orphan trains ran regularly from the East Coast big cities of Boston and New York and Philadelphia to the Midwest, where they would take these orphans, mostly Polish and Irish immigrant children, and hope that they would be adopted by these Midwesterner farmers. Sounds good, right? So they strapped 200,000 of these children on these trains and sent them out to the Midwest. And they had no clue where they were going. They never knew where they landed. And they would be taken out of the train and paraded in front of all of these farmers. And the farmers would then inspect them like cattle, looking at their teeth, looking at their muscles, inspecting them for their fate. Sadly, although it was called adoption, in reality, it was nothing less than indentured servitude. And many of these children lived very hard lives and were unloved by their adopted parents. I think adoption has a lot to do with who is behind the adoption and what is their motivation for that adoption. So where am I going with all this, right? Well, today we celebrate All Saints Sunday. And it's a day that we remember, and it reminds us that if we've placed our faith in Jesus, if by faith we've taken on the waters of baptism, then we too are adopted. We've been adopted by God, which is a good thing because of all the people to adopt us out there, God is the one we want because God is the one person whose motivation is nothing short of pure love for us. Now, I've heard it said that we are all God's children. Regardless of whether one is a Christian or not, we're all His children. And while I think that sounds very lovely, scripturally speaking, it's just not true. It's true that we are all God's creatures in creation, that God brought us all to life and gives us life. But what Paul reminds us in our Ephesians passage this morning is that it is only through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, that we are adopted as His children. Now, unfortunately, we didn't read the little verse that talks about adoption, but if we were to go back to verse 5 in Ephesians, we'd find that Paul says this. He says, God predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His good pleasure and will. Similarly, in John's Gospel, he says this, to all who have received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. Basically, God has chosen to adopt us through those who place their faith in Jesus. All Saints is a day that reminds us that we've been given this wonderful gift of adoption, and it's through faith that we receive this gift of adoption, that we're brought into the family of God. In Luke's Gospel this morning, Jesus shows us how we're to live into this new family, the family rules and values, so to speak. And so in this new family, we don't value things like money or notoriety or fancy things anymore. No, no, no. Those are the things that we valued in our former lives, in our former families. The new family, we value things differently around here. We behave differently. So, for example, we love all people, regardless of their economic status. And we care for all people, whether we consider them to be a friend or whether they're considered to be an enemy. We're people who stick alongside one another, whether there are good times or whether there are difficult seasons. That's our family. That's who we are. That's what it means to be part of the family. In Revelation, we get a glimpse of what our family looks like. It's a family portrait that we can hang above our fireplace. What Revelation shows us is that we are a family from a great multitude of nations, different races and tribes and people all speaking different languages and have different traditions and come from different cultures. And yet, what I love about Revelation 7 is that it describes for us a commonality, a bond, a unity, as we're all dressed alike in our white robes. So what John is explaining to us there in Revelation is that there is a unity in this family in the midst of all our diversity. And of course, we can't forget what the Psalms tell us. The Psalms this morning express the joy we have because we have been adopted. The joy because God has chosen us. He has reached out His hand of love and offered us a new beginning, a new life, and a new family to which to begin. At the end of this service, we're going to sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. And we're all going to proclaim together that today we remember that at one point in our lives we were all once lost. But now, thanks to Jesus, we have been found. God rescued us. God adopted us and restored us. He's given us the family we were always supposed to have. And we remember all the saints, all the family members that have gone before us, who are with our brother Jesus and our Father in heaven right now. And we remember the promise that they've received and are now inheriting. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Elizabeth Smart. It happened a couple of decades ago. Back in 2002, Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped from her home in Utah. Now, for some reason, I remember this story because Elizabeth Smart and I were about the same age at the time. And I remember being terrified that someone like what happened, something like what happened to Elizabeth Smart would happen to me, that someone would sneak into my home and kidnap me. My mother reminded me that I'm not a cute blonde girl and that I'm quite annoying, that my captors would probably send me back. But I was still a little nervous, and so the story is stuck with me. And all joking aside, Elizabeth was captured by these two individuals, and they did all sorts of evil things to this girl. But what happened is they were able to kidnap her without leaving so much as a trace. And so the police really gave up hope rather quickly of ever finding Elizabeth. They just kind of assumed the worst, that she had been murdered. Her parents, however, would not give up, especially her dad. Her dad raised up a little army of his own detectives. He started his own search and rescue teams. He created this huge media campaign, hoping that someone would recognize his daughter's face. He would not give up. He was relentless. Many of his friends and family members were encouraging him to let it go, to begin the grieving process. But this dad was determined. Well, thanks be to God, through this relentless pursuit by the father, that girl was eventually found in a grocery store. Nearly a year after her disappearance, after her kidnapping, Elizabeth was home with mom and dad. When she returned home, they discovered through a therapy process that the reason why she never tried to run or escape from this couple was that she was terrified of her kidnappers. This twisted couple had brainwashed her and controlled her with fear. But over time, she was able to let go of those lies. And over time, she was able to allow the healing process to begin, all the brokenness that had happened in her time with her captors. I share that with you because I see a lot of the gospel in that story. In a way, the Bible tells us that we've all been abducted from our home by the evil of this world. Our home was once this place called Eden, where we had fellowship and a relationship with God, but then we were taken from that home, and we are being brainwashed by the evil one of this world, who is telling us over and over again, God doesn't care for us. God doesn't love us. God gave up searching for us a long time ago, and now all we have is this broken world before us. This is our home. But like Elizabeth's father, the Bible tells us that God never gives up on us. He never gives up on bringing us back home. No matter how far we've been taken, no matter how confused we've become, he will not give up. As we look throughout scriptures, the scriptures tell us of the story of his great rescue mission. And when it seems like the rescue plan isn't going to work, God remained undiscouraged. And when it looked like all hope was lost, God remained undeterred. And so when it seemed like all hope was lost, God literally threw a Hail Mary by sending his son Jesus into the world to rescue us, to save us, to find us. If you remember last week, Deacon Bree talked about Jesus finding Zacchaeus. Jesus not only finds Zacchaeus, he finds us as well. And when we're brought back home, he patiently waits as he shapes us and molds us into our family. He patiently waits as we allow the brokenness of this world to heal in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. Paul says that he empowers us by his Holy Spirit to live into these new lives and into our family. You know, my friend Alon, who I started this sermon out speaking about, he told me that when he was brought into the Taylor household, he made it his mission to get kicked out. If you recall, back around Easter, I told a story, and I said he even went as far as clubbing his dad in his knee and sending him to the hospital. I mean, a really difficult child to love. But Mr. Taylor was relentless. He was patient, and he cared for him over and over again. And he reminded him that if he wanted, then this family could be his family. And they would always be there for him. And before long, Alon's callous heart began to soften. Before long, all the chips on his shoulder began to smooth over. Before long, the walls that he had created were starting to crumble. And before long, Alon was finding that he could love in ways he never thought he'd be able to love. He cared for people in ways he never thought he would be able to care. Alon found that he was a new person. The same is absolutely true for all of us. When we allow ourselves to be adopted in the family of God, we are created into new people. When we choose to live life with our Father, it will change us. It will shape us. It will make us different people. We will begin to take on the life of the family. We'll sing the songs the family sings. We'll eat at the table that the family eats at. We'll read the same stories that the family reads. We'll live life like the family. Now hear me. Hear me very loud and clear. You don't do these things to become part of the family. God accepts us with all of our brokenness, with all of our baggage, with all of our imperfections, just the way we are, into this family. He doesn't want us to remain that way. It's not his desire to let us remain in our sinful state with all of our brokenness and baggage, but he patiently waits as he shapes and molds us into his children to live the lives he always intended us to live. But the good news is we don't have to fix ourselves to become part of this family. We're part of this family if we want it to be our family. Years ago, when I was serving in Atlanta, I met a priest from Tanzania, and he was telling me about his family back home. He had 7 children. That's a lot of children, 7 of them, and 3 of them were adopted. 3 children were adopted. One of them, he told me, was a little albino boy. Now, what I knew about Tanzania is that there's a lot of superstition in Tanzania about albinos. Often families will just leave these babies on the side of the road, and witch doctors will actually take them and use them for their rituals. It's terrible things that happen. But my friend adopted one of these little albino children. And when he was going through the process, one of the social workers asked him, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm a priest." She said, "I knew it. I knew you had to be a Christian, because only Christians ever adopt these children." What are these children? Well, she meant the broken, the unwanted, the bad ones. But that's not how this man saw this child. This child was perfect. This child was great. This was his child whom he loved. And that's how God sees us. The gospel says God chooses even the bad ones, the broken ones, the unwanted ones, and calls us his own. We're his own. If we accept that invitation, no matter what baggage we bring here this morning, we're part of that family. We're one of the saints. We're indeed children of God. Earlier this week, Ben Guido and I were talking, Ben Guido and I were talking about my sermons, and I said, you know, I always have to have an application in my sermon. It's a personal conviction. And I wrote this sermon, I realized, what's the application? So I can't let Ben down. I told him I'd do this. So here's the marching orders. Here's what we're to do with this. If you're one of the saints, if you've accepted that invitation to be part of this family, then today, rejoice. Be glad. Don't take for granted the great gift of adoption you've been given. Sing your heart out. When we go to sing Amazing Grace, let those words saturate your soul. Don't take this adoption for granted. But if you're not part of this family, if you've not accepted that hand, then I want to encourage you to reach out and accept the hand that's being offered. Be part of this life-transforming family. Receive the gift of grace and God's love and his mercy. It would be the greatest gift you could ever receive. If you accept that hand, you are one of the saints, and you will be one of his children. Amen.